with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Barbecue Bob is still recovering from vacation. So Chef Andrew Smith, if you've just tuned in, you missed a couple really good segments. The guy is imparting his knowledge on us. And the baritone of beer, Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery, is with us. And Andrew, during the break, you were talking about why a sauce even began and where it began and what its origins were. And it's kind of an interesting little conversation, so share it with everybody.
Yeah, so, you know, Jop, we were talking about how sauces all got started. And, you know, really it dates back to the early times of when we didn't have refrigeration and people at that point weren't versed in the art of smoking meats. Sauces really came about to kind of cover up the rancid nastiness of the meat that they had, because their meat was only good for a few days, and then after that they had to figure out a way to make it palatable for other people. So that's how the whole sauce thing came about, is to make bad cuts and bad meat taste, you know, better. So a little tip to all you guys: if you ruin a piece of meat out there, if you got a good sauce, it's going to cover it up and make it all good. But
Chaz, you had a suggestion on that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, slice it thin on the bias, make it look fancy on the plate, spread some sauce over it, and give it a fancy name.
That's right. That's right. And that's the best tip. Now, if you cook a good piece of meat with a great sauce, now you're amping your game up, and that's what we're talking about today. And we got through the first three. There's a couple more left. We're going to, you know, stick with me here, because this is worth the time to go through these. So what's the fourth one?
So, you know, for the grilling, you know, guys and smoking guys out there, you know, this fourth sauce is really the godmother of all sauces for us, and that's the tomato sauce.
Right. This is where our barbecue sauces are going to come from.
Exactly. And, you know, tomato sauce, everybody's got their own favorite version of it. Cooked product, you know, most of us in the barbecue world, we're using either, you know, ground tomatoes, or we're using ketchup or whatever in our barbecue sauces to start with as a tomato product. But there's nothing against, you know, you going out and making your own tomato sauce, cooking it all the way down till you get it to the thickness that you want to use for your barbecue sauce. Makes a wonderful, you know, addition to it. And if you want to amp that tomato sauce up even farther, we'll get into it later on, but cold smoking your tomatoes to get that smoke flavor in there really, really amps up that game. And
yeah, that's one of the tricks that we've released to the people is when in our chili, is that we smoke our vegetables cold smoke. What I mean, and we'll touch on that in a minute, the difference between cold and hot smoke, but we cold smoke our vegetables to get that smoky flavor in there, and then when you use them, it's very evident that there's a little bit of smoke taste, not overwhelming, just a hint of it. And people, you know, you see them, you know, two or three times with their tongue going, man, that's just a little bit different. And that's all it takes. So it's,
exactly,
it's kind of cool.
You know, and then the last sauce that we've got is the Hollandaise, which, you know, everybody knows from their Eggs Benedict days and that.
Right.
Perfect derivative off of that is your Bernaise sauce that everybody knows on their filet, which has got the tarragon reduction added to what is in essence a Hollandaise sauce.
Okay, and a Hollandaise has what in it? I mean, everybody's had it. But.
Yep, egg yolks, a little bit of acid, water, and then clarified butter.
Okay.
And there's different versions out there, from, you know, doing it with whole butter to doing it with clarified butter. You know, I'm old school. I like to use clarified butter, which is, you know, the butter that's got the whey and the water separated out of it.
And how do you do that if somebody wanted to do that?
All you got to do is simple. Just put the butter on the stove, turn it on, heat it up until you first start to get a few bubbles in it. The whey will break out of the butter, and that's basically the milk solids. That'll settle down to the or float to the top, and then your water is going to be down below that, because the fats are going to rise to the surface because they're lighter than the water.
Right.
And you skim off the whey, and then pour off the fat, and the water you just throw out.
Right. So you're kind of decomposing the butter, for lack of a better term, and getting just that clarified butter that's in there with the whey and the water out. And,
exactly.
That's something, you know, the Valentine's Day was last Tuesday, and I did a little surf and turf for Michelle, and she had never had clarified butter before, and dip that little bit of crab meat in there, brother. Ooh, I'm telling you, that's good stuff. It just it's a very concentrated butter flavor when you,
yes,
when
it
you
is.
Separate it
We're
like that.
We're getting all kinds of your secrets.
Right. Now, well, you know, they're not secrets. They're just
polishing
stuff I do.
Up your game for the
yeah,
ladies.
Right, yeah. Come on, Chaz. I got no polish, brother. I am what I am. But anyway.
You know, so going into that hollandaise job, you know, one of the things I did the other a while ago was I actually made hollandaise with smoked butter. And I cold smoked the butter in the little smoker I've got at home. And it's a tricky thing. You really got to make sure your temp doesn't get real warm, because above anything above, you know, 80 to 90 degrees, your butter's going to start melting and end up with just melted butter in the pan. So what I do is I basically take my butter and cube it into small bits and then freeze it so it's rock solid. And then I'll put it in the smoker, and I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not getting that smoker very warm at all. So I'll put a pan of ice in the smoker also, and no heat in the smoker or whatever, just the smoke blowing through there. Let it go for about 15, 20 minutes, and you get this butter that's got this wonderful smokiness to it that you can then make compound butters or put mix it, whisk it into your hollandaise. And just adds another element to your cooking and another, you know, complexity to the food that you're doing.
Okay, one of my favorite things, Chaz makes this for sweet corn, is a compound butter. And explain, Chaz, you do them all the time. What do you use for a compound butter?
Well, what we're doing is we'll dress up a butter with some herbs in it. We'll dress it up with maybe a little extra salt in it and some pepper and such like that. But one of the real big tricks that we do with it, and I learned this from a real cheapskate, there's a number 10 can. You wash that out and keep it, and you fill that 3/4 full of water. And you put that over a burner, warm it up, and then you put that compound butter in there, and it floats on top. Like you were saying, the fat's going to float. And it's going to come up there. And now when I take corn off the grill, it's just a dip. But since the fat's on top, that's what's coming out on the corn. And you don't need to fill that can all the way full of butter.
Right. Just a cool, I've watched him do that at some, that's more of a summer recipe than the winter, but I've watched you do that, and it's just a quick way to get butter on a corn when you're serving it on a buffet line, man, and it's good stuff. But the compound butters are used on steaks too, on the top of a steak, and I've seen them mixed with cheeses, I've seen them mixed with herbs and different spices, but the simplest form of it is it's butter with other things in it.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly.
That's what makes it compound.
Right.
You know, it's butter or it's compound butter. And, you know, you were saying cheeses, blue cheese, red wine mixed in there, whipped up till it's nice and light. Maybe some minced shallots and garlic and salt and pepper. And you got a
beer.
You got a wonderful beer. You got a wonderful topper for
IPA
your
IPA butter.
IPA butter. I've not had that one.
IPA butter over vegetables. Bam.
Oh, yeah. Bam, he says.
Had to get one of those in there.
Yeah, right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about cold smoking. Chaz, I know that you've done a little bit of it. I have too. But one of the things that I think people are unaware of is that it's dampering down the smoker enough. Now, I use an offset smoker, right? And so I can control the amount of heat that's going from the firebox into the chamber. And that's how I keep that going. You damper down the top so there's not a lot of air coming out, there's not a lot of air coming in, and that fire will settle down, and you can keep that chamber, you know, watch your thermometer, but as you said, less than 100 degrees is probably where you want to do it. Now, the types of cheeses that you would recommend, Drew, to do cold smoking on?
I tend to want to stick with the firmer cheeses, although I've had a lot of great luck lately with a lot of what they call the wash rind cheeses, your Brie, your Camembert, those type of cheeses, because it does keep that softness inside with that outside rind on the cheese. And when you're cold smoking, you want to make sure that you're not introducing heat at all. It's just all smoke. So you want to keep that heat down. You can run it through your offset smoker through a hose that maybe is wrapped in cold frozen towels, you name it. But you just want to keep the heat out of there because you're not trying to cook it. You're just trying to impart that smoke flavor.
I think distance is one of the big things, too. If you've got a big enough smoker, you can get your food product over to one side and your offset smoker, you know, like with our trailer rigs, down to one end of the box.
Right. Yeah, so it's not only front to back, but it's left to right as well. Maybe I build a small fire in one end, and my product's in the front on the other side. Yeah, great idea, because, again, it's pardon me, it's only the smoke that you want. It's not the heat at all. But coming up next, we're just going to continue down this little smoky, saucy road. And Chaz might talk about his Scottish arse when we get back. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Ain't no